moments like that that I remember that my 7 years of piano that all went to waste. So, if only. Thank you. We have two scripture readings for this morning. I'm going to be reading to you first from Luke's Gospel. This is one of the many healing stories in the Gospel. It's Jesus healing the servant of a Roman centurion. Then Alex is going to be reading to you from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now the Galatians, as did many of the early churches, had a problem, which is they had some people preaching things that weren't quite orthodox. They were preaching what Paul calls a different gospel. So Paul is writing to the Galatians and telling them how they can be sure they are walking the right path. As we get ready to read and hear God's word together, will you first join me for a moment of prayer? God, you have already been present with us in many ways already this morning, but as we turn now to your word, let each one of us feel your presence and hear your voice speaking to us and speaking to each of us words that we specifically need to hear this day from you. So God, open our ears to you and also open our hearts and our very lives to you this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So hear this reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, Jesus said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you heard, the second reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. "Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is a different gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
We have any people pleasers here today? Paul says quite clearly that we as Christians have a choice. We can either set out to please people or to please God. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think Paul is saying there's anything wrong on one level with trying to please people. Certainly, Paul isn't wanting us all to go out and start antagonizing people. But I think if you start to think about it, Paul's point begins to make sense. For one thing, trying to please people can be frustrating. It can be exhausting. Pleasing other people is not just a 24/7 job, it can be a 25/8 job. There's not enough time in the day. You can't please all the people all the time. In fact, I would suggest you can't even please all the people some of the time. In fact, there are some people that you can't ever please any of the time. You may have some of those people in your family. There may be a few in this congregation. You may be one of them. If you set out to please people, you are setting yourself up for stress and anxiety and failure. And it's so exhausting. It takes so much energy even to make the attempt. How many of you here either are or once were teenagers? Raise your hands. Teenagers may be the group of human beings most concerned about pleasing people. Of course, they also have the double whammy of, at the same time, they're trying to be liked and please people. They're also trying to make their own way and be rebels. Imagine, no wonder teenage years are so tough. And you throw in hormones on top of that. But do you remember being a teenager? If you can remember back that far, I was trying to remember. I remember being so consumed with, what am I going to wear? Am I going to wear the right thing, say the right thing, do the right thing, hang around with the right people? And by right, I don't mean morally correct. I mean popular. I want to be liked. Remember how exhausting that was? Some people never grow out of that. Perhaps the greatest group of people who've never grown out of that are politicians. Always trying to please, well, maybe not all the people, but at least 50.1% of the people so they can be reelected, or at least a majority of those voting in the next primary. You know, everything by polls. What do people want me to say? Even their language. What words? I mean, how do you spin a certain thing? It's exhausting. It must be exhausting for them. It's exhausting for us listening to them. I suspect if there was ever a politician who would just stand up and say, you know, I know no one's going to like this, but this is what I think our country should do. He'd probably win re-election for the rest of his or her life. It would be so refreshing, not trying to please people, but just doing what is right. I think this is part of the reason that Harry Truman, in the last 30 years or so, has had this amazing rebound of his popularity.
Do you know when Harry Truman left the presidency in 1952, his popularity was 22%? That's lower than Nixon when he resigned. But over the years, I think people began to say, you know, we didn't always like what Truman was doing or saying, but at least he seemed to be speaking his mind and doing what he thought was right. And I suspect that's one of the reasons he's sort of rebounded in terms of his popularity. Of course, it's no good to him now, but, you know. Pleasing people is exhausting and frustrating, and it's almost a prison we can fall into. Always trying to please people. Now, Paul knew this. Paul says to the Galatians, I know what it was to be a people pleaser. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee for much of his life. And the Pharisees were, I don't think they were quite as bad as they come off in the Gospels, to be fair to them. But as religious leaders, they were sort of like the politicians of their day. They were always trying to appear correct and, you know, on the surface looked like they were doing the right thing. And Paul says, I gave that up when I was called by Christ on the road to Damascus, when he had that conversion. He said, no longer was I trying to please people. I was trying to please God, do God's will. Of course, you know what that meant for Paul. He was no longer respected and liked. Instead, he was tortured and arrested and thrown into prison and often just barely escaped with his life. He was shipwrecked. And yet, Paul seems overjoyed in the fact that now he's serving God, not trying to please people. There's another person in the Bible, pretty well known, who was not a people pleaser, and that's Jesus. Now, we like to think of Jesus in sort of a white bread Hallmark card kind of way, you know, on the hillside with children and sheep, you know, very gentle. But remember, Jesus also was one who overturned the money changers' tables in the temple and said to some groups of people, you hypocrites, you vipers. Jesus didn't take polls to figure out what to say. He was not politically correct in any sense of the word. Notice even in today's story, he heals a Roman centurion's servant. Now, sure, there's some Jewish leaders who have come to him and said, this centurion has been good to us. You should heal his servant. But then, did you notice what happens? As he's on his way to the centurion's house, the centurion sends word, says, don't even come to my house. I'm not worthy. But I know what it is to have authority, as I do in my position as a centurion. And I know if I tell one of the soldiers under me to go do something, they will do it. So Jesus, just say the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. And Jesus is amazed. And he says to this Jewish crowd that's following him, he says, I haven't seen faith like this, not even in Israel. Not even among you, the chosen people of God, have I found faith like this. Now, you think those people were pleased to hear that? No, they were thinking, what sort of guy is this insulting us? But Jesus was always, again, not setting out to antagonize people, but just saying what is true. Pleasing God, not worrying about pleasing people. And so it is for us, as Christians, as a congregation, our goal, our purpose is to please God, not please people. Now, this is tough. Because we want to please people. As a denomination that's losing almost hundreds of thousands of people every year, we want people to come. But you know, Jesus was an awful marketer. Awful. You would not want Jesus in charge of, the fellowship committee or the hospitality committee at your church. Because Jesus did not say things like, come and we'll take care of you and you'll be happy. He said, follow me, but take up your cross to follow me. Follow me and you will suffer. Sell everything you own and give it to the poor and then follow me. Don't worry about burying your father. Don't worry about saying goodbye to your family. Just come follow me. Jesus was an awful marketer because he wasn't trying to please people. He was trying to please God. And of course, even though he wasn't trying to please people, look at all the people who eventually followed. Our purpose is to please God. Now again, this is tough. Believe me, this is one of the things I always struggle with as a pastor. Because look, I want to please you all. I want you all to like me. I guess that's the little teenager still left within me. I don't want anyone to be upset at me. But you can't spend all your time and energy trying to please people and trying to please God. You've got to choose. I think of it, I'll give just one example, just even in worship. The goal cannot be to please people, even though, and this hurts us in a consumer society, you know, where people church shop and things like that. But, you know, over the years that I've, this is the third church I've served, I have encountered people who've said to me, I hate this part of worship. I've had people say to me, I hate the passing of the peace. I hate it. It makes me uncomfortable. Let's just get rid of it. I've had people say, I hate the time with children. It takes too long. It's distracting. I've had people say, I hate singing hymns. Can't we just do away with the hymns? I think over the years I've had at least one person come to me and say, I hate every single element of worship that there is. But as I always tried very nicely to tell these people, we're not going to get rid of the passing of the peace just because you don't like it. Or whatever element of worship. I also have said, you know, if only one or two people are complaining, we must be doing a pretty good job. Even in this aspect of worship, we like to make it about us. And look, believe me, if you leave worship every Sunday feeling great, feeling renewed and refreshed and inspired, that's great. Hallelujah. But that's just a fringe benefit. That's not the reason we gather here on a Sunday morning. We don't gather here for ourselves. We gather to worship God. Can't set out as your goal to please people and please God both. Now, it does turn out, as you work to please God, you will along the way help and please a lot of people. But that can't be your goal because people are fickle and there's always going to be someone who doesn't like something you're doing. This is a difficult text, I think, to hear. But I think Paul is right on the money. This is not the only place Paul says it either. He says it at least one other place in writing to the Corinthians. He says the same thing. You've got to choose. Please God, please people. So, for one thing, think of that next time you get mad about something your pastor does. I'm planting the seed there to help myself down the road. But also, I think it's a question, a very profound question for all of us to ask in our daily lives, everything we are doing. And so I will leave you with this question. In your daily life, every day, who is it that you are trying to please? Amen.